second chapter of the book of Revelation, your Scofield Bible, page 1332. We'll read responsively the first five verses, verses 1 through 5 of this second chapter of Revelation. May we stand, please? Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And together on verse 5, 2. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The text verse is that fourth verse where it says, Because thou hast left thy first love. And let's pray. Father, we praise thee certainly for this great church. We're thankful for our preacher. But we're thankful especially that thou art real and that thou dost meet with us in this place week after week. Thank you for what you do, and we pray for thy help today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have not as much time as usual, so I'm going to jump right into the message I'm speaking this morning on the subject, You Have Left Your First Love. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, our discussion today as we continue once again to think of the marvelous love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Charles Sumner was a senator in our national government a little over 100 years ago in the Civil War days, I think. There was a fight, physical fight on the floor of the Senate. Charles Sumner was left. They thought to die. He thought he was dying. He did not die at the time, but they thought he was dying. And after he had recovered, someone asked him, Sumner, what did you think about when you thought you were dying, lying there on the floor of the Senate? And Charles Sumner made an amazing statement. He said, the thing that I thought about was I had lived a life and now was dying a death, and never had anybody ever said to me, I love you, Charles. How tragic. A young man sat in my office just the other day, young man in his late teens, and said, Pastor, I never heard my daddy say, I love you. I'm sure he did. He provided for me. He was good to me. But I never heard my daddy say, I love you. A young lady sat in my office this week, in fact, two different young ladies, and said, my mother, I'm sure she loves me, but I never heard my mother say, I love you. Dads, if your sons and daughters never hear those words, you're making a tragic mistake. I do not recall ever having left home to go to school in the morning, arriving home in the afternoon, or leaving to go out and play in the yard, what my mother kissed me goodbye and said, I love you, son. And to this day, whether we talk on the telephone or personally, there's never a goodbye without exchanging those three magic words, I love you. I called Dave this morning. By the way, he's doing much better. And I called him this morning, and I said, Doc, how do you feel? He said, Dad, I feel better. I'm going to go to church this morning. He probably shouldn't, but I'm going to just rush in and preach, rush right out. Not going to go to Sunday school. I'm going to do the same thing tonight. But before I hang up, always say, I love you, Doc. And he said, I love you, Dad. It's always the case. Tragic it is for people to live and die and never say, I love you. Well, you say, I'm just not that type. You can change that at the altar here very easily and become... None of us is that type. Almost all of us at times have to force that kind of a statement to express how we feel, because in our civilization, it seems to be a sign of weakness. I was up at St. Margaret's Hospital one time. There was an old man who was very ill, and I prayed for him. I'd never met him. But I said before I left, "Sir, because Jesus loves you, I love you." I walked out the door, and the old man said, "Say that again." And I said, "Say what?" He said, "Say the three last words you just said a while ago." And I said, "I love you." And through tears, the old man looked at me and said, "Reverend, that's the first time anybody ever said that to me." The church at Ephesus had been born midst revival fires. God's word was sweet to the ear and to the eye. Prayer was an opportunity for man to fellowship with his Creator. Soul winning was a blessed privilege for men's lips to tell of God's plan of redemption. Now the church is in sad shape. The years have taken their toll. Victories have become commonplace. Growth has become usual. And delight has become routine. The people have grown to accept the blessings of God without rejoicing. They've grown to accept the love of God without tingling. They've grown to enjoy the love of God and bask in His love without realizing it. And the Apostle John writes the church and says, "You're a good church. You stand for the truth. You stand against evil. You cannot stand those who bring false doctrine. You're faithful. You're a good church. But I have somewhat against you," said God. "You have left your first love." Now, the usual interpretation of that is that the church had left her first love and that she didn't love Jesus like she used to love Jesus. Let me offer another suggestion that I think is a bit better. You have left your first love. I think it means first, you have left the one who loved you first. Not you have left your first love with you as the lover, but you have neglected, you have left your first lover, the one who loved you first. I want you to be careful. There are many definitions for love, and I'm not sure any of us can define love. But give me your thoughts in your mind about this definition. Maybe love is rejoicing in being loved. Maybe love is offering fertile ground for receiving love. Maybe love is loving God, or maybe loving God may be the thrill of God's love. Attraction may turn to love when love is received. I'm not sure, but what the greatest act of love known to mankind is the act of receiving love from another. Young men, if you have a young lady and you want her to love you, maybe her love is born when suddenly she says, "I'm glad you love me." Or she receives the love that you give to her. And the very reception of that love may be the birth of love in her heart for you. What greater expression of love is there than accepting the love of another? Maybe the beginning of loving is being thrilled because you're loved. If that be true, then loving God is being glad He loves us. Loving God is thinking on His love. Loving God is dwelling on His love. Loving God is reveling in His love. I started off in the month of June, I think it was, perhaps the first Sunday of June, about 10, 11 weeks ago. I was going to preach a sermon on the love of God. I had no intention of preaching another, but I had to. I had no intention of preaching the third, but I had to. And now for an entire summer, every Sunday morning, I've done nothing but remind you with a different text and a different thought, looking at a different hue of the color, I've done nothing but remind you that God loves you. Now, that love can be reciprocated only as that love is absorbed and received. So in the absorption of God's love, I show my love to him. Did you ever love somebody who didn't love you? Did you ever love, but it was not received? And when all of a sudden, listen now, the receptacle was opened, and the love that you offered was received, then the receiving or the reception of that love by the object of that love became to you fulfilling, and you felt love because they wanted your love. And it just may be that the greatest act of love that one can give toward God is doing what we did this morning, sitting together and saying, thank you, Jesus, that you love me enough to give your blood for me. And thank you, Jesus, that you love me enough to have your body broken for you. And in the reverence, listen, we don't think enough. We don't dwell enough. We don't revel enough. We don't meditate enough. Listen, every child of God ought to take day, time and time again, day after day, to say, bless God, God loves me. Thank God, He loves me. Thank God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This unspeakable, matchless love is toward me. And I've got a sneaking suspicion that the greatest act of love that God wants from you is to know that you dwell on His love to you. Then perhaps the best way for me to show my love to Him is to revel in His love to me. Then we have loved Him this summer more than ever. Now the sad thing is, when that love is, no, not spurned. Nobody here spurns the love of God. Nobody says, God, I don't want you to love me. Nobody here looks at God and says, fooey on your love. We don't spurn the love of God, but we neglect the love of God. We do not examine the love of God. You know, the word thou has left, L-E-F-T, left, are you listening? Thou hast left thy first love. That little word left is used three ways in the English Bible. First, it means to send forth, to send away. It could be said, thou hast sent away your first love. Now, we don't do that. That's not this verse here. But second, it's translated, thou hast to forget. Thou hast forgotten thy first love. You know, a high school football team, about kickoff time, ought to stop and think. The player ought to stop and think. Thank God we have a Christian school. And thank God we have a Christian coach and a good Christian team. And thank God that God has given us a Christian school. And God, thank you for your love to me. I think that's certainly in order about kickoff time. I'm talking about at the height of our excitement. I'm talking about at the zenith of our promotion. I'm talking about at the pinnacle of our experience. We ought not to ever live without the awareness of God's love. And there's nothing that would thrill the heart of God anymore to know that you and I not only realize we're loved, but we think on that love. We forget it. The third way this word left is used in the New Testament is to neglect or leave alone. Now, we would not dare look up to God and say, God, I don't want your love. But in our busy interaction with the materialistic and the carnal world, we simply neglect. That's why you ought to have time in your schedule every day where you say, I'm going to spend this hour or these minutes rejoicing that God loves me. We do that with people on earth that love us. Why, there are young folks here today who have people that you love who are away in college or away in the service. And you set a time every night, maybe, where you look at the moon or the stars and you stop and think about each other. And that's the time where your hearts blend and your minds meet. Where? At your love. Now, you can love somebody but not love somebody. You can love somebody but not have an active love. It's a dormant love. And if I ask you, does God love you? Yeah, God loves me. But let me ask you a question. Do you ever stop to dwell on the love of God? We've neglected it. And the Apostle John wrote the church. He wasn't saying primarily here, you've left your first love. You don't love me like you used to, though that's there. But primarily he's saying, you have left and neglected and forgotten the one who loved you first. Now we all love to feel loved. How sad that we can feel loved if we will feel loved. We neglect our first love. What does it mean? It means we neglect the one who loved us first. our first love. Our children learn to love us. I'm not sure when a child learns to love. I'm not sure if most adults have ever learned to love. But our children love us in some cases. But before our children loved us, we had friends that loved us. But before friends love us, husband or wife loves us. But before husband or wife loves us, maybe sweethearts loved us. But before sweethearts loved us, maybe pastors and teachers loved us. But before pastors and teachers loved us, parents loved us. But before parents loved us, God loved us. Before it was ever decided or known by man what color your eyes would be, or what color your hair would be, or what your size would be, before it was ever known, God loved you. He first loved you. How awful it would be to spurn the first love, to spurn the first lover. He who loved you before a star was ever thrown across the sky. He who loved you before a mountain was ever reared on the horizon. He who loved you before a tree was ever lifted from the earth. He who loved you before the moon was ever made the great light to rule the night. He who loved you before the sun ever came to give warmth and heat to the daytime. He who loved you before there was ever a carpet on a meadow. He who loved you before a fawn ever tiptoed through the forest. He who loved you before a fish ever made his way through the jungle of water. He who loved you before a bird ever explored the heavens. He who loved you before there ever was a sunrise with the azure blue of the sun and the beautiful emerald green combining with the topaz brightness of the sun. He who loved you before there was ever a bird to fly or a fish to swim or an angel to fly across the sky or a seraphim or a cherubim to praise God, he loved you. How awful it is for us to neglect that first love. Not to take time to thank God for it. We've left our first love. Sure, it means we've left the love we had first. But it's far deeper than that. It's far higher than that. It's far broader than that. We have left our first love. We have neglected our first lover. It also means the one who loves me first. That means before he loves anybody else. God loves the angels. Angels minister to his every need. If God could wear shoes, angels would shine his shoes. If God could wear a suit, angels would press his suit. If God could wear shirts, angels would wash his shirts. If God could eat, angels would cook his meals. If God could be tired, angels would wipe his weary brow. If God could be man, angels would love him. And God loved angels because angels are his beckoning servants. And yet, far more than love, God loves Gabriel or Michael. He loves you. He loves you first. He loved you first in time. He loves you first on position. He loved you first. Don't leave your first love. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm not saying don't quit. You can't quit loving. Once you love anybody, you never quit loving anybody. Somebody says, you just destroyed my love. You're not talking about love. You're talking about lust and you're talking about attraction. Love never faileth, the Bible says. It never faileth. But I'm saying that God, he loved you first in time. Before he loved anybody else, he loved you. God loved you first. How foolish it is to spurn that amazing first love. Thou hast left thy first love. The one loved me first. The one who loved me first in the sense before he loved anything else or anybody else. And thirdly, before I loved him. God loved me before I loved him. How tragic. God did not wait until we got lovely to love us. God loved us when we were unlovely. God did not wait until we sobered up to love us. God loved us before we got sober. God did not wait till we got our hair cut before he loved us. God loved us while we had long hippie hair. God did not wait until we got pure to love us. God loved us while we were yet impure. God did not wait until we got forgiven to love us. God loved us before we ever sought or even wanted forgiveness. God did not wait until we got honest to love us. God loved us while we were dishonest. I'm saying, brother, if God could love me and you before we ever deserved to be loved, unlovable, unloving, unloved, if God could love us when mothers and dads had to turn their backs on us in shame and humiliation, when husbands and wives had to walk away from us in disgust and despondency and despair, when children had to walk away from us in shame and humiliation. God never stopped loving us. God loved us first. What a tragic thing it is for us to leave our first love. First thing you did was love us. Four things here. We've left our first love. We left the one who loved us before we loved anybody else. We left the one who loved us first. That's before anybody else loved us. We left the one who loved us first. That's before I loved him. And then we left the one who loved us first. That's before he did anything else. Did you know God was going to create the worlds? But God said, first, I want to love man. Someday out yonder, I'm going to create man for the earth. Before God ever made the stars, he loved you. Before God ever decided to make the universe, God said, I'm going to love. I'm going to create me one day somebody that I can love. You see, God's heart was unfulfilled. God had all. Not had, he was love. God not had the reservoir of love, he was the reservoir of love. The ocean is water, God is love. He had the reservoir, he was the reservoir, and yet there were no objects. And God said, I'm going to make me a race someday. Now wait a minute. There's a man in this room this morning, I'll never call his name, but he told me one day, he said, I loved a woman. I wanted to marry her. But he said, I wouldn't marry her till I had a house to move her in. And that man, don't know me, how that he went out and bought a lot. When he bought that lot, he said, I love her and I'm going to build a house on this lot for her. He dug the hole for the foundation. And as he dug the hole, he said, I love her. And someday she's going to live on this spot with me. And as the walls were raised, he said, I love her. And someday these walls will house us as we share our love together. And then put the ceiling on. He said, someday this ceiling will keep us from the elements so that we can love together and live together. He said, Pastor, he said, for I guess 2 years I worked on that house with these hands. I built it all. And every time I built it, I said, I love her. And someday she'll be here. One day God threw the stars in space and said, I'm not finished yet, but as soon as I get finished with everything, I'm going to make me a race. I love them now. And we're going to love together and live together. And when God decided to make the earth, every time he carved out a gorge, God said, we're going to love each other as we walk down through this gorge, as we stand on the bridge and look across it. Every time God made a tree, God said, I'm not finished yet, and I can't ask my people to come. I'm not going to let people come yet, but one day we'll sit under the shade of this tree and love each other. Every time God made a flower, God said, I can't have the race come yet, but one day we're going to stand together and look with each other and adore this beautiful flower. Every time God made a strawberry or a piece of fruit or something for our eating and our health, God said, I can't bring them here yet, but I'm getting it all ready. And God made a world. And the world that God made never had a howling, chilling wind to freeze the nose or the ears of one of his people. And the world that God made never had a thorn or a thistle on a rose. And the world that God made never had any evil in it. And when it was all made, God said, now the one I've made it for and the one I've loved all along can come to it. And that one came. And there was blessedness. There was Adam, and there was Eve, and there was God. And every morning, God would come and say, Adam! Adam! And Adam would say, honey, God's here. We're going to get to spend the day with God. He loved us before he ever made all of this. He made all of this for us. Honey, the trees he made for us. And the sunshine he made for us. And the moon and stars and worlds he made for us. And all the herbs he made for us. And all the fish that swim in the sea he made for us. And all the birds that fly in the air just form a feathered choir to sing to us. And God is here. And God came, and it was exactly as God planned it. God did sit with Adam and Eve and watch the lovely flower with them. And God did walk through the gorge and enjoy that indentation of His globe with them. And God did sit under the shade of the tree and enjoy the shade of a tree with them. And it was just like God wanted it. And then one day, sin raised its ugly head. And one morning God said, Adam! Adam! I'm here, Adam! And there was no voice. Adam! 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 And there was no answer. They had left their first love. Have you, our Heavenly Father?